Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson and available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and, of course, on the YouTube, that little notify bell so that you are reminded whenever there's new Going In Raw content. We're also available at the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. Right now, we've got 40 people watching this live stream getting dietary tips from Larson. Listening to me talk about would I or would I not too sweet Jeff Jarrett. Also at the $5 monthly mark, you get our weekly Patreon exclusive series, non-news. It's news that doesn't really matter. This week, Jeff Jarrett explains.
Well, I mean, every week we got to have a Jeff Jarrett story.
Every week there's a Jeff Jarrett story. This week he explains the rebranding of TNA to GFW.
That should be an interesting, riveting.
You can only hear about that
conversation
non-news, because here's the thing: for free here on the YouTube or in the iOS podcast or the podcast apps out there, we give the important news, the actual news. Larson, anybody who has an internet connection can get that.
But
we're not charging
for
that.
For the fine people who give us money via Patreon,
we're giving them the shit that doesn't matter.
Yeah,
that's what we're giving them. We're also available at prowrestlingtees.com/goingin raw.
There's a huge sale going on.
There's a big summer sale happening right now. Look at these. This shirt right here, prowrestlingtees.com.
You can get this one too, but it's not in our store.
Going In Raw. All these shirts are from the Pro Wrestling Tees Going In Raw merchandise.
Did you leave this in your washing machine for a while?
Probably. Merchandise store. And there's a massive summer sale happening right now. I believe it's going until
the 10th.
That's right. It's happening right now.
So through
now,
the weekend.
Yeah. So you guys can check that out. The link is also on our Twitter at Real Going In Raw.
Yes.
But we're not here to talk about all that, Larson. What are we here to talk about?
205 Live.
That's right.
And NXT.
We had a takeover level match on NXT.
It's 2 weeks in a row we've had a takeover level event.
Yes, full disclosure, I have not seen the Asuka match yet because after the 4th of July, so yesterday, I had to watch WrestleMania 25 because we're recording our pay-per-view review for that today, and 205 Live and NXT, and the thing that I did not get to see was last week's NXT.
Yeah, I watched it when we were in LA.
Yeah,
I
probably should have done that.
It was pretty good.
Yeah. But yeah, this week, man, what a spectacular match, but we'll get to that in a bit. First, we're going to talk about 205 Live. It opened up with Titus O'Neil on the phone with Akira Tozawa.
Walking backstage.
Walking backstage through the halls of 205 Live.
Of,
sorry, my cord's everywhere.
The arena in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah.
He runs into Daivari.
Mm-hmm.
Compliments him on his shirt.
His nice shirt.
Also, he runs into Mustafa Ali.
Mm-hmm.
Speaks highly of him as well.
Said one day they're gonna be calling you Muhammad Ali.
Yeah,
because he stings like a bee and floats like a butterfly.
Yeah,
yeah. Other way around.
Other way around.
But anyways, it was a very energetic way of, you know, if anybody can kick off a show with high energy, simply walking through a hallway, it's gonna be the leader of Titus Worldwide.
Yes, Titus and I'm happy that they started the show that way as opposed to say an interview. Because so often they start...
That is such a bugaboo of yours.
205 Live with the interview. I know they do it because they're getting the ring ready for the show.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, it's not a good way to start a show.
No, it really
isn't. With a stand-up
isn't.
Interview. Doing something like this with Titus, walking through the backstage area, talking on the phone, talking to other wrestlers. Quality stuff.
Once again, it illustrates this is the lone time I'm going to talk about this. Because the crowd was actually pretty good tonight.
Especially by the main event, yeah.
The crowd was good tonight. They were into it. But it does illustrate when you have to program your show because of the show that just aired before it. Like, if you have to program around that and find creative ways to start your show, the beginning of the show brings people in. It's supposed to, you know, soak them in so they sit there and get involved in your show. And when you have to dance around the fact that, you know, the ring crew is in
ready
there
for 205 live.
And what exactly does that entail? Making the ropes purple.
But they didn't do that last night. They were still red, white, and blue.
Oh, maybe they're cleaning up.
They have to change the ring canvas.
Yeah. That's right. So, I mean, I don't know. Anyways, once again, another reason why they need a different production approach to this. But whatever, that's neither here nor there. It started off with Titus O'Neil in the ring delivering a promo.
Yeah, he had like a podium set up.
Oh, that's right. And he had two big foam board pictures of
Neville and Akira Tozawa in opposite corners.
Yeah, and the pre-show match for Great Balls of Fire.
And Titus Worldwide, has some new branding. They have a logo.
It's a Titus flexing.
Yeah, it's great. Literally, when I watched this, I went to WWE shop to see if they had that shirt available yet.
It always takes like a month for that shit to get
up. At least. They still haven't done the Monday Night Revival shirts.
Well, are you going to put that Larson Lee Break shirt up?
Yeah, I can do that today.
Nice. Because I was looking for the logo. I was going to do it myself, but I can't find it.
I have. I'm going to put on a green shirt.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Like a forest green?
Yeah, dark green.
Nice. I like it. I might actually get it.
Titus is talking up the match, which will be on the pre-show.
He's a great salesman.
Balls of Fire. Yes, he is.
He's a great salesman. Neville comes out. He interrupts Titus O'Neil, and he's fantastic. And he's basically just saying, you know, you're shooting off at the mouth. You're getting Akira's hopes and dreams up, and he's destined to fail. He says, look what happens to people in Titus Worldwide who are signed to the Titus brand. He said, look at Apollo Crews. They showed a replay of Apollo Crews getting destroyed by Braun Strowman. And I love that main event. I love that they replayed Titus getting in there. And if anything was evidence of why you should sign with Titus brand, it's that. He got Apollo Crews the opportunity he's never had before, a main event slot on Raw against a main event player, Braun Strowman. And when Braun Strowman was laying it on Apollo Crews, Titus O'Neil stepped in there and took one for the team.
Exactly.
I can't think of a better management company to sign with in the world of professional wrestling than Titus Worldwide.
I agree.
Yeah. Anyways, but Neville's running him down. He's saying essentially, I'm going to win at Great Balls of Fire. You're not going to win. He says, just pay attention to what happens now to Lindsay Dorado.
So that match happened. Titus joined Vic Joseph and Corey Graves on commentary.
Yeah.
Good match. The last two Neville matches, I think, kind of followed the same kind of pattern where Neville's opponent will do a whole lot of high-risk, high-flying moves.
Yeah.
And then eventually Neville will turn the tide and just overpower his opponents.
Yeah.
That's kind of been the story they've been doing the last 2 weeks. And this match ended with Neville powerbombing Lindsay Dorado and then following that right up with Rings of Saturn. Lindsay had to tap.
Again, I mentioned this on the Raw Recap show, the Super Show, which is our last Super Show for now. It's funny because I was looking at the comments. One of the top comments is, man, I love these Super Shows. You fit it all into one episode. Yeah, but they don't do, you know, in terms of revenue, it's a terrible idea.
Oh, yeah. It's better to do two shows that exactly. Do those numbers as opposed to one.
Get double the money. I like our singular recaps. Anyways, I mentioned this on the Raw / SmackDown recap that I love this booking of Neville as a heel. They keep him strong mm-hmm. against people they need to keep him strong against. And every once in a while, he comes up against somebody who, you know, has his number, you know, Akira Tozawa.
He only cheats in desperate times.
Exactly. Otherwise, like with Lindsay Dorado, is able to you know, legitimately destroy him. Mustafa Ali, same thing on Raw.
Yeah.
It keeps your heel legitimate, credible. You understand why he has the title. You understand why he has the title.
Yep.
If you're always cowardly, like there's just, you understand. It was back like when Seth Rollins had the title. And I think you and I both feel like it booked him too cowardly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, what, he could win against guys like chumps on the roster. But then whenever anybody...
Well, any pay-per-view match, you needed help from J&J Security.
Exactly. And that just, it made you feel like this guy isn't qualified to have the belt. That's mm-hmm. my problem with mm-hmm. it. I don't care if it's a face or heel, I want to feel like they're qualified to have it. But I think Brock Lesnar's a terrific heel because he, you know, he plays it as if it's kind of real.
Yeah.
And it makes me like, you know, ugh, like sick of him. But I understand that he's a good heel.
Yeah.
And he's the most qualified person to have the belt.
Yeah.
You know, because they book him super strong.
Yeah.
So anyways, I like Neville. That's my point of that.
Yeah, Neville's great.
And we got a segment. I like this. I like so there were a lot of questions we had about where TJP would be going after the Neville thing, you know,
who would he be facing. Yeah.
And I like this, you know, slow burn back and forth with Rich Swann that he has going.
And I like that the last few weeks, I guess, TJ Perkins has had some internal struggle as far as to be, as Swann likes to put it, TJP, his heel persona, or yeah. TJ Perkins.
Yeah.
You know, the guy who won the Cruiserweight Classic.
And
not only is, sorry, not only is he embodying that in terms of his performance, but also in terms of his ring gear, because last night is the first time in a while he wore the same ring gear he wore during the Cruiserweight Classic.
Oh, okay, yeah. And he, so him and Rich Swann have a conversation backstage, sort of about it. Rich Swann said, hey, why'd you book this match with us? And he said, you know, I just felt this would be some friendly competition. He says, you couldn't beat me during the Cruiserweight Classic. And, you know, you'd give me all this guff about TJP versus TJ Perkins. And the great thing about it was that, and you guys probably firmly remember this, I was not on board with TJ Perkins because I felt that he was a black hole of charisma. And my suggestion was turn him heel, have him be naturalistic, you know? And that's what he's doing. Mm-hmm. Like he's playing these backstage segments naturally.
Yeah.
There's no quips. There's no snarkiness. There's none of that. It's this guy actually comes off as much as you can in the pro wrestling realm as if he's got some inner conflict.
Yes.
He's trying to figure out who he is.
Yes.
I like it. I'm into
me too.
It.
I really like it.
Yeah,
really
it's really good. And they ended up having a great match. We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
That was the main event. Next up we had Tony Nese versus Jack Gallagher. Are you still not down with the Gallagher?
The what?
His Gallagher's finisher, his dropkick, his running dropkick. Still not down with that?
No.
This week, it looked particularly brutal, man. He ran right into it.
Okay. I still prefer the headbutt for a finisher.
Yeah, I mean, not anymore, though, because Shibata. You can't do that.
Well, I mean...
No more headbutts, dude.
Gallagher doesn't actually headbutt somebody.
It's not good.
It's a huge difference. But I like when you headbutt somebody and then stumbles into a pinfall attempt.
I thought there
I think
was
that's
some...
a good way to end a match, I think.
I don't like when anybody has to stumble into their finish. I was joking right there. I don't know. I looked at his running drop kick in the corner. It looked a bit more vicious this week. I was hoping maybe you would see that. No,
Still unimpressed. Still not into it.
I don't know
it.
If you were paying attention. So he ended up picking up the win with that drop kick.
Yeah.
And then what do you think about this Brian Kendrick? You know, if it was anybody that wasn't Brian Kendrick, this would probably be terrible. But
it still wasn't good
because it was Brian Kendrick and he's a bit on the weird side.
Yeah, but it still wasn't good.
It wasn't good.
It wasn't good.
But I love Brian Kendrick.
I do too.
Yeah.
But it wasn't good.
It wasn't. And you know, it's funny, man. Like after going to the G1 special, and we've been getting this a lot on our Twitter from people who also watched it's difficult to sit through this kind of stuff, this specific kind of stuff. Like, the main event is fantastic.
Yeah, really good.
The main event at NXT.
Really good.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Really good. I'm totally fine sitting through that stuff. Real match still storytelling. But this stuff that the WWE does, this stuff that they have, 28 riders on deck.
And this is what they come up with.
Brian Kendrick, for those who didn't see and are actually watching this for the recap aspect of things, Brian Kendrick... showed up on the Titantron dressed up as like a founding father, I think.
Kind of.
He was supposed to be like an old school American, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was saying he was running down a history of Great Britain.
The segment was called A History of Britain, yeah. But it said Great Britain.
And he crossed the Great Out.
Yeah.
And so he was equating the failures of Great Britain...
During the
Revolutionary War, thank you.
To Jack Gallagher's own failings as a cruiserweight.
Yeah.
In the cruiserweight division in WWE.
Everything that Kendrick and Akira Tozawa did was great, and they're not doing this great. Even when he was dressing up like Jack Gallagher last week, while mildly amusing.
It wasn't good.
Was not good. But on the other hand, it's Brian Kendrick, so I give him more leeway. because it, Brian Kendrick himself just adds a surreal quality to things.
Oh, I know. Or at least the possibility of a surreal quality.
Yeah, exactly. So
far it hasn't necessarily manifested itself in these last two segments, but not, we'll see where it goes.
Not as far as anything entertaining.
No.
So Jack Gallagher did his best to kind of sell it.
He looked more confused than annoyed.
He did. He was like, wait, are you supposed to be an old-timey... Like,
how did this segment Britainer? Make air?
Yeah, he's like, this is what they're coming up with. He didn't even know that was happening. Next up, we had Noam Dar in the locker room with a trainer who was giving him some ice for his neck.
Well, he was checking his neck after, I'm assuming, taking another lumbar check from Cedric Alexander on Raw.
Right.
And Alicia Fox comes in, and Noam Dar says, all right, that's it. We're done. Time to move on.
Well, no, she says, he's like, you know, he said, I have a newfound perspective. I'm going to be going after that
Cruiserweight Championship.
I'm going to let Akira Tozawa and Neville tear themselves up, and then I'm going to slide in there, and I'm going to take it. That was a terrible Noam Dar. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to take that Cruiserweight title. And she said, what about Cedric Alexander? And he's like, what about him? That's long in our past.
Yeah.
So,
and then she said no, that as long as Cedric is on 205 Live.
Yeah, she wants him to leave 205 Live. We kind of do too.
Yeah.
I'd love to see him on SmackDown.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, I don't know. If they're going to spoon feed us more Cedric versus Noam Dar, at least they're kind of like self-aware about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like even Noam Dar thinks that.
It's been too much.
But Alicia Fox, who is too much, wants more of it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to take any tact with it, that's a decent one to take, I guess.
Maybe they'll do a match where it's a loser leaves NXT match and Cedric can go on to Raw or SmackDown. That'd be awesome.
Loser leaves 205 Live match.
Is that what I said?
You said NXT.
Sorry. Okay. 205 Live.
What did you call that belt? That was still my favorite flubby.
Oh, the never overweight
the never overweight.
Six-man titles or something like that.
Yeah, they have to measure your body fat beforehand. All right, so that led to our main event, which was TJ Perkins versus Rich Swann. Hell of a match, man.
Yeah.
This is one of those matches that the people were kind of into it. At one point during Neville's thing, they started saying, you're not Strowman. Because he was kind of equating, you know, what Strowman did to Apollo to what he's going to do.
Yeah.
And the crowd started chanting, you're not Strowman. So from early on, they were into this. And that's good, man. You got to give it up to the Phoenix crowd, I think, right?
Yes.
So props to them.
Yes. who are skipping out on 4th of July festivities.
You know you're a hardcore fan, man. You know you're a hardcore fan.
Did they have any pyro to start 205 Live? No.
Oh, I don't know.
They haven't done pyro to start that show in a while. At least give the fans on the 4th of July some in-arena pyro.
I know. What the heck?
Anyways, yeah, good match. There was a moment where...
Why is everybody talking about pyro these days? There's a lot of...
Because there's not as much of it.
Yeah. What is up with that?
Maybe because it's probably expensive.
And I hate it. I'm not a fan of pyro.
I don't mind it when it starts the show.
Have they not been started? Have they started... They started Raw with pyro, didn't they?
They could have, but 205 Live hasn't had pyro to start in a while.
Yeah, I don't really care about that. Look, man, it's starting out in the freaking hallway.
And they usually don't have pyro to start SmackDown, I don't think. So maybe that's just the deal. It's like that day of taping, they don't bother with pyro at all.
Yeah,
anyways.
I don't really care. They need to start changing their pay-per-view sets, too.
I agree.
See two giant balls of, like, fake fire.
Okay.
For Great Balls.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I wanted them to go extra phallic with it.
Why not just actually balls. Have two giant spheres lit on fire for the entire 3 hours?
Actual fire.
Yeah.
Like, massive
Actually
spheres.
Shoot actual fireballs.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
Okay. Anyway.
As long as there's some sort of phallic element to it.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
This match did a pretty good job of pushing TJP's story ahead because there's a moment in the match where they're going back and forth, really fast-paced, good wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Swann pushes Perkins, and Perkins kind of, he's upset by it, and he kind of goes back to being TJP for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Match goes on. He finally gets out of that. It's a lot of back and forth between do I be mean TJ Perkins or do I be TJ Perkins?
Yeah.
And it's good. He's doing a really good job of with his performance.
Yeah, no, he absolutely is.
The match ended with a pretty cool sequence where they were...
This was cool. You don't see this very often.
No, trying roll-up and pinning combinations on each other, and they kept on reversing it until Swan hit one,
mm-hmm.
got the three count,
yeah.
but Perkins acted as if he was totally surprised by it and went for another hold afterwards.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But the ref said, nope, that's it.
You yeah.
got, he got the three count. So you rarely see when there's a kick out at, you know, 2 9/10.
Yeah.
You rarely see that actually lead to a three count. You know, it's usually just close.
But I know.
No, this
I know.
Actually led to a three count. So it was good. Some decent booking there.
And after the match, Perkins was disappointed, but he didn't take out any of his frustrations on Swan.
Yet. That's going to happen, though.
Yeah,
and I like
that.
What
well.
A great. I mean, look, man, we both kind of wondered also what was going to happen to Rich Swan. They're coming up with creative ways to book feuds without that title involved.
And also they're taking their time with the feuds.
They're taking their time.
They're not with them, rushing things.
And they're character centric feuds.
Yes.
That's what's good about them. I like that a lot.
Yeah, me too.
All right, moving on to
NXT.
NXT, the roar of the crowd. What's the song now? Resistance.
Yeah, something like that.
Resistance. Hell of an episode today. Kicked off with a tag match between Cassius Ohno and Hideo Itami, taking on the sanity duo of Killian Dane, a.k.a. Big Damo.
Yeah.
And Alexander Wolf.
Who moshed before the match started.
I know. It's great.
It's fantastic.
Love when he moshes.
And this match primarily was here to further the tension between Ohno and Itami.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
There was this moment where Cassius Ohno was distracted by Alexander Wolf on the outside. Hideo went to their corner to make a tag.
Mm-hmm.
But Ohno wasn't there.
Yeah.
And after that, Hitami said, "All right, well, I'm just going to wrestle the rest of this match myself."
They're not a very good tag team.
No.
You know, they're just not a good tag team.
No. So the finish saw Hideo hit a GTS on Wolf, but Wolf had made a tag to Dane while he was on Hideo's shoulders.
Yeah.
So after Hitami hits the GTS, Dane comes in, hits a running splash, a fun splash, if you will, and got the win.
Yeah, those damn fun splashes.
They come out of nowhere.
They really do. They're hard to hit the reversal on.
Yes, they are. Do you think this feud goes all the way till TakeOver?
This is going to be a good match.
Oh, yeah. It'd be fantastic.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah.
TakeOver Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. That's at SummerSlam. It's a month away.
It's a month and a half away.
Yeah, that'd be good. Let's see here. Then we had, you know, man, you know what's funny is that, so I'm going to make a basis of comparison here. Ember Moon, they had a media session with her.
Yeah.
I feel like they're doing everything wrong with Ember Moon. It's just, it's cheese. But I know what they're going for. And I think there's another wrestler who they've gotten exactly right over the past 6 weeks in the same ilk as Ember Moon. And his name is Roderick Strong.
Mm-hmm.
The Roderick Strong versus Bobby Roode match, we'll talk about in depth in a little bit.
Yeah.
Was exactly how Ember Moon should be booked. I'm sorry, is exactly how that first Asuka Ember Moon match should have been booked. Because like all the little things they're doing with Ember Moon, none of it plays off as convincing to me. Whereas Roderick Strong, like him or not, the story we're getting with him, it's convincing me that's who he is.
Yeah.
Ember Moon sounds like she's reading scripts, whereas Roderick Strong, you know, he doesn't have the most natural charisma in the world, but man, he's heartfelt.
And he's relatable.
And I feel like that's what they need with Ember Moon, but doing a thing where three obviously silly hands with microphones are sticking out at her like it's a big press session.
I kind of feel like there's a lack of consistency in how they want to portray Ember's character.
Yeah.
They want to make her relatable.
Yeah.
Seems to be the thing, but they don't exactly know how to do it, so they just try different things and there's no consistency in their approach.
Because here's my thing about it, is I think Ember Moon is a license to print money.
Yes.
I think her in-ring work is great. Her
yeah.
finisher is fantastic. She looks like $1 million.
Yes.
It's just they keep trying it. I just think that they keep trying to do this stuff that really feels simple, but it always ends up being hokey.
Yeah.
Like, every time I think about that in that empty arena segment with the Charlie Brown music, it's just it bugs the crap. Like, I just feel like she's walking around with her head down.
Yeah.
With sad music playing. It's so she and then like doing things and then Ruby Riott comes down and she talks some crap to Ember Moon. And Ember Moon had a good line at the end. She said, "If anybody wants to get step on my warpath, you know, to the title, They're welcome to. So it sounds like we might get Ember Moon versus Ruby Riott for a number one contender match. Mm-hmm. Or for a number one contendership match coming up.
And then Asuka has been on vacation, it looks like. Saying, you know, I'll come back to NXT whenever there's a worthy opponent in place to challenge me.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that Ruby Riott got sort of eliminated first and that Asuka, I mean, that sort of, to me, okay, she needs to step aside for a bit, but I'm totally down to get like a number one contendership.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, she doesn't really have a good case to make.
Yeah, her claim isn't as strong. Ember Moon has
exactly
the
at
strongest
least she got
claim.
Injured, yeah.
I know.
So, I don't know. I get the feeling that they know they have something good on their hands. They just can't quite figure out how to make the most of it.
I think it's just a lack of consistency.
Yeah. Yeah. Next up, we had an interview with Drew McIntyre in a very nice business casual shirt.
Yeah, he wants that NXT title.
Yes, he does.
That was kind of the point of this.
Yeah,
he said regardless of who wins match tonight,
all roads point to Drew McIntyre.
Yeah.
Then we had another interview with the iconic duo Peyton Royce and Billy Kay.
Yes.
And again,
I was doing something else during the first half of this, and what. Peyton Royce was talking about cake, right?
Yeah, I didn't get it either. I think I was half confused by their. Sometimes their accents are a little too much for me. That's what they're talking about. Billy Kay was talking about cake at the end, and I was like, "That's really funny," but I have no idea what they're talking about right now. so they went off to get their cake. I don't even know what that interview was about. And then meanwhile, and I was kind of half paying attention to the background because you see Andrade Almas, Cien Almas,
yeah,
back there with Thea Trinidad.
They're arguing,
and the interview lady says, "What was it?" She goes back there, and she's like, "You know, why is there a domestic dispute happening over here?" And Thea Trinidad had run off, and he called her "loca" in Spanish, which of course means crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. We had another interview. It's like a friggin' episode of WGPW.
Well, there was a... I know, a lot of words.
Yeah. These are all pretty quick, though.
Yeah,
because
like, literally.
Because they gave a lot of time that main event.
Yeah, Roderick Strong's interview consisted of a one-word answer. Victory.
Yeah, they asked... Yeah, exactly. And then they did an interview with Bobby Roode, and he said Roderick Strong is crap or something like that. I don't know.
In between these interviews that precede the main event, they had a video package that recapped the...
Yeah.
Bobby Roode, Roderick Strong storyline to date.
Yeah. But I mean, when you think about it, I guess, yeah, there are only like two actual matches here. But that main event was like half the show.
Yeah, it was about 20 some minutes.
It was a really long match.
Yeah.
So that led to our main event, Roderick Strong versus Bobby Roode. This is the perfect booking for Roderick Strong.
Yes.
And Bobby Roode for that matter. Because it kept the consistency, of Bobby Roode's tactics. What'd you call him, a tactician?
Yeah, he's very tactical.
I called him an opportunist, but I like your phrasing better.
I guess in my mind, opportunistic.
He takes advantage of situations.
Yeah, but it's not a situation where he'll run away from a fight per se.
Right? No. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's not like he's an opportunistic heel in the sense that he picks his spots.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
he just knows when to pounce.
Yeah. He waits for the
other guy to make the mistake. Yeah. And in this case,
and he has a strategy to make that happen.
In this case, now Roderick Strong was booked. I mean, he's, forgive the pun. He was booked very, very strong here.
Yeah.
Very strong.
Yeah.
And that's how you need to book him because he, like I said earlier, and this isn't a knock on him. It's just some guys just don't have the, you know, natural charisma that, you know, Aleister Black can literally say nothing and it's like you're mesmerized by his face.
Mm-hmm.
Roderick Strong is not that. And so you need something to hold on to.
Yeah.
And for him, it's his resiliency. It's his in-ring work. It's his toughness, his grit.
Well, it's also his kind of everyman character.
Yeah, yeah. But that only goes so far until
I know.
This guy can wrestle with the best of them.
Yeah.
And you need that. You need to understand this guy can win against anybody. This was, do you agree with me? This was the strongest match anybody has had against Bobby Roode. This was stronger than his Shinsuke matches.
Yeah.
Like in terms of
actual in-ring wrestling, yeah.
In terms of in-ring wrestling, but also the other guy looking strong against him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Roderick Strong kicked out of a glorious DDT.
I know.
That was crazy.
That was cool.
That was fantastic.
And what I like about Bobby Roode matches is he, each one so far, his major title matches have all told a different story.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
He has a different strategy to counter each of his opponents. Granted, I know he worked Nakamura's leg,
mm-hmm.
But that was only after he hurt himself.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby went after Strong's leg pretty early in the match.
Well, so Strong ended up, they started brawling on the outside. Strong ended up falling through the crack between the ring step and the ring post. Yeah, the ring post, sorry. And so his leg went down there, and Bobby Roode pounced.
Yeah.
He went, he kicked the ring steps. And then for the rest of the match, that's where he focuses his attention. It's like, okay, let's feel him out. Let me survive until I can feel out what his weakness is, and then I'll focus on that like a laser. And that's what he did.
Yep. That's been the one consistency of all of Bobby Roode's matches.
And I love those stories because it's like, okay, what is he going to do now? What is he going to find now to beat his opponent?
Yep.
This, like we said, this match was really long. It was never short on action.
Yeah, it was fast paced, a lot of action.
There was always stuff happening. There was always a story being told.
You had Roode working Strong's leg, Roderick working Bobby Roode's back with a slew, a bevy of backbreakers.
Yeah.
Great match. So you mentioned Bobby Roode hits the glorious DDT. Strong kicks out. More back and forth. Roderick hits his backbreaker finisher. I don't know if there's what the name of it is. Gets the three count, but the ref calls off the pin because Bobby, at two, slides his foot under the rope. So while Roderick is kind of celebrating, also trying to ascertain what's going on, Bobby Roode, taking the opportunity, pounces, knocks Strong off the apron.
Yeah.
They fight a little bit, and then he gives him a DDT right in front of his family on the outside of the ring.
Oh, yeah, it was great. Gets him back in there. Roderick Strong comes to, tries to attack him with a flying knee, and then has to, like, hold off a second.
No, that happened earlier.
Oh, that happened earlier.
That preceded Drake Younger,
what are you doing? Referee, what are you doing? You're, like, terrible. Like, if you count number one, if you count three and then see that his leg was there, how many times did that actually happen? I know I'm straying into, like, you know, the logic of wrestling.
It's happened a few times.
And they rang the bell, hit the music, and they waved it off. Name one.
Nothing comes to mind, but it's happened before.
It's happened before, but how often does it actually
not
happen?
Very.
And how many times have we seen something like that happen where they do allow the victory and they start telling the guy who lost, I didn't see it. I'm sorry, I didn't see it at the time.
Well, generally it's because...
It just didn't... I don't see that.
It's generally because they don't see it at all.
I know.
Whereas Drake
they don't see it. Once you hit the three, that match is supposed to be done. That's supposed to be done.
Well,
I was fine with it because of the storytelling aspects.
Yeah.
But then he's like in the way. He's in the clear path of Roderick Strong trying to attack. I'm just saying storyline-wise, that ref was terrible.
Well, it is developmental for everybody.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you for biting on it.
Anyways, after Bobby... Oh, the spot you mentioned happened before the first glorious DDT.
Okay, all right.
So Bobby Roode gets Strong back in the ring, hits another glorious DDT.
Yes.
Picks up the win.
Yeah. And it's great because the crowd was, like, stunned.
I know.
that was a great thing, is it? Because they kick in Roderick Strong's music when he got the three count. Roderick Strong goes out there and, like you said, hugs his family. They played it like it was over, but then you see the ref the entire time. And I mean, knowing, like, how many matches we've seen, we knew that, you know, their placement of the three count was so Bobby Roode can get his leg. And he made sure to put his leg, like, it was basically draping over the
apron.
So it was a really, really good, I would say. And it was, you know, they're celebrating, I guess, the 400th episode of NXT.
But yeah, that's 2 weeks in a row we've gotten a takeover quality main event.
What do you think of weeks one and two of the return of Mauro Ranallo?
I think he's been good.
I give him an A so far.
Yeah.
I'm a bigger fan of Tom Phillips, but he's really letting Nigel, Nigel a lot of space.
Yeah, there's been a number of times where he did, like when it was him and Lawler on SmackDown, he would ask questions.
Yeah, yeah. And Nigel, he's also given a lot of the recapping to Nigel, which I really like. I still wish, I understand sort of the I don't know. I kind of do and I kind of don't. I understand that there's a tradition of heel commentators. Nigel just shouldn't be that. It's just, I don't think it suits him.
Yeah.
I don't think it suits him. Like, all the good things about Nigel, and it's a 90-10 split. Like, the good is 90%.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, his the way he analyzes the matches and the stories being told is great.
It's great.
Yeah.
When he rips on Percy here and there, it just feels out of place. If you want to play devil's advocate to the heels, then that's total. That's fine. But it's so awkward when he goes after Percy. Mm-hmm. It's so superfluous.
Yeah, I know.
Shouldn't be there.
No, I know.
Because Percy doesn't really. Percy's just sort of there. Like, he's good and everything. He adds a bit of flair to it.
Yeah.
But
Anyways, want to answer some questions?
I think we should probably answer some
questions. All right. Hamza Halal, which weekend did you guys enjoy better and why? WrestleMania or G1?
Well, that's a good question.
I know.
I would say of all the wrestling events I went to, I would probably say G1 probably night two and then night one would be at the very top of the list of events
and
we
then,
went
and
to.
And then NXT TakeOver Orlando would be a really close third.
Yeah. No, yeah. And I would even say Progress is a close fourth, but something about having a packed schedule. We did that great panel.
Yeah.
I would probably say WrestleMania.
We went to WCPW.
We got to re-experience being roommates again.
Mm-hmm.
probably Mania, but it's not because there was anything negative about the G1 weekend. Yeah. That was a blast.
Yeah, it was. Dom the Man Hilberg.
The
Man. What are the odds that NXT realizes that Nikki Cross needs to be the one to take the belt off Asuka? If they thought that was the case, she might have it right now.
Yeah, I think that's...
She's had plenty of opportunity.
I think they've had opportunities to realize that, so I'm going to say the odds are none. Man, I really hope she never loses it. They have such a special thing. You've gone this far. Why would you... Why? In NXT... They break traditions all the time.
I know.
You know? They could get away with it.
I mean, they're setting it up. A scenario where she's like, okay, I've beaten everybody.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
Give me something else to do.
Crowd's going to go massively when she goes to the main.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go huge. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be sitting here 3 months later. They're really bungling Asuka. Three weeks in a row. Three losses in a row.
I know.
And they've got her in some goofy skit.
I know.
Asuka's going to get a boyfriend.
Love
triangle with Asuka, Shinsuke Nakamura, and Bobby Roode.
Fat bastard champ Alex
you
Foster.
Fat bastard. Fat
Alex Foster. Which NXT superstar should get their own merch? He feels like, with the exception of champions, almost nobody has any shirts.
Is there anybody out there?
Authors of Pain has merch. Almas has a shirt.
It's not very good, though.
No, I know, but he has a shirt.
He's got a shirt. Do they have a Cassius Ohno one yet?
I don't think so.
You can always go to his pro wrestling tee store.
Yeah. Hitami used to have a shirt. I don't know if they've put a new one up yet.
I'd like a big demo shirt. That'd be cool. Just like a big, like this, but big demo.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be cool.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Actually, quite a few NXT stars have shirts. Like Aleister Black has a shirt.
Is that Iconic shirt up yet? The Iconic Duo shirt? Why is that not up yet?
I know.
Can we get I know this is an NXT, but I want Rhino's I'm with Heath shirt.
Yes, that's good. You know he just went to some customization place and made that himself.
Oh, I love it.
It's great.
That's great. Ooh, here we go. Opportunity for power rankings, Larson.
Ooh,
I know you love power rankings.
I do.
How would you guys power rank the top five contenders for the NXT title? Your opinion.
Drew is number one.
Drew is definitely number one. We're on the same page there.
Number two. I'm going to put Alistair at four for now.
Whoa!
He will rise.
Whoa!
But he's at four for now.
All right. Who's at number two?
I'll put Ohno at five.
Really?
Yeah. I'd put Roderick Strong at number two.
Still?
Yeah. I could see a rematch happening after that match, definitely.
Hasn't something been announced for TakeOver?
No.
A rumor for TakeOver?
Adam Cole, number three.
Adam Cole, number three. Get out of here. Adam Cole. But when is he going to show? Isn't it weird? Like, this is the first time I can really think of. Maybe not. Maybe it's just because we're so, tuned in these days. But, usually there isn't that big of a gulf, I feel, between them being a big name somewhere and then them showing up at a takeover in the audience, at least. I just feel like Adam Cole, I don't know where he is. Like, what? I know
he's been doing some indie dates.
Yeah, no, I know. But nothing like that has a high profile. Nothing maybe on TV.
Maybe that's intentional.
No, I think it is. Yeah. I absolutely think it is. I think it's the whole Ring of Honor. Maybe Ring of Honor has a no-compete clause. I don't know what the deal with that is.
I don't either.
Because I understood it's like they got upset with the WWE poaching their talent. Maybe it was like them approaching them before their contract was actually expired.
Could be. It could be. A tampering situation.
Yeah.
But then again, I don't feel like Bobby Fish has been without a contract for that long.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
He's kind of an exception.
But I felt like his contract expired after Kyle O'Reilly.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like
that was Kyle case. O'Reilly, that's another... Yeah, that's another...
That's been since January.
Yeah, that's been a while.
So who knows? I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that some more in Dirt Sheet, though, today. When okay. We record it.
All right. All right. Wait, but we still need like a number three, don't we? You said Adam Cole
said
number
Adam
two.
Cole. No, I said Adam Cole number two. Like the or wonky, three, sorry.
These are the wonkiest power rankings.
I said Drew number one.
Drew number one.
Roderick Strong number two.
Okay.
Three, Adam Cole, baby. Four,
Oh,
Alistair.
You still say Roderick Strong is number two.
Yeah.
Man, you're so out of whack on this.
No, man. He's
it's
got
Drew. Here's the definitive power
Roderick Strong has a legitimate claim for a rematch.
No, he doesn't. He lost clean. They don't do rematches in NXT. They move along. Move along.
They do tons of rematches in NXT.
Move along. Adam Cole's number four. No, Adam Cole's number five. Cassius Ohno's number four. Look at Hideo Itami. He didn't get a rematch. Number four is Cassius Ohno.
Mm-hmm.
No. He already had a shot. Nah, he's off the list.
All right.
So we're stuck with Drew McIntyre number one.
Yes.
That's definitive right here.
Right, if you say so.
Drew McIntyre number one. Aleister Black number two. Andrade Cien Almas number three.
But he's a heel. They're going to have a heel versus heel.
No, it's okay.
Title match.
He'll
no,
turn
it's not.
He's a face in my heart. Number three. You did your power ranking. They're crap. Everybody
no, they're
agreed.
Good.
Everybody agreed. Adam Cole, number four. And Hansen, number five from War Machine.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll talk about that later. We will talk about that on Dirt Sheets.
Oh, what about Eric Young? EY? He's not even on your He hasn't had a title shot.
Yeah, but he's also a heel. They're not going to do heel versus heel.
Well, it's a heel to you. I like squatters. I think they're
in storyline.
They're heroes of society.
In storyline, he's a heel.
The squatters of society are the heroes of society. Larson, put that on a shirt.
All right.
20% off. All right. What was I talking about?
Terrence Thompson's unapologetic. He had a rant on his podcast.
Oh, go check out Terrence Thompson, our friendo.
Yes.
Has a podcast called Unapologetic. I haven't listened. I don't know if he has the latest one out, but I told him he needs to intro his show. He takes the get to it idea to the extreme.
Oh, he just gets right into it?
He gets right. He's got like a 30-second long song that plays, and then he just starts talking. So I say, song goes down to 15 seconds, mm-hmm. maybe 10.
Mm-hmm.
Intro your heart out. That's one thing I've noticed about podcasts. I know we try to get to it on the quick, but man, so many podcasts out there. Like Stone Cold Steve Austin.
He usually tells a story to start his podcast.
Yeah, which I like.
Completely unrelated to anything else he's going to talk about later on.
Exactly. But you also have to hear about Alpha Brain for a good, 10 minutes.
Yeah, he has his ad reads. But also he gives, a little Stone Cold slice of life. Like when I was listening to the first episode with Bailey, he was talking about he and his wife going and trying to buy a couch.
I feel like he's said, yeah, he always...
Because it used to be just ranch stories when he had his ranch still.
Right,
but he sold the ranch. So,
they're all great stories.
I know.
It's just
he can make the most mundane things sound
interesting. Story time with Stone
Anyways,
Cold.
Terrence's question. He mentions on his podcast that 205 Live should be filmed before NXT in Full Sail. What are your thoughts? Yeah, it should be something like that.
I'm going to say...
A more intimate environment with a more passionate crowd.
I'm going to say not that specifically.
Agreed.
Because then you might end up killing the Full Sail crowd for NXT.
Yeah.
Then NXT might suffer.
Oh, no, they shouldn't be one. I don't think they could do one block of tapings for.
Yeah, he's saying, I mentioned that to him. It should be filmed before.
That's an 8-hour day. They're not going to make people in the audience stay
so
there for 8 hours.
I'm going to say,
I don't even think they should do it at Full Sail. They should do it in a similar size venue on a regular basis, but not the same place.
I would just, if production wise is easier, then do it at Full Sail.
No, obviously.
But ideally, what you're saying is absolutely correct. Do it at the. What's the place they do PWG?
Oh, the
VFW?
Something like that.
The American Legion
American
Hall.
American Legion Hall, yeah. There you go. Reseda, California.
Eddie Jose Guevara Menivar says, does Neville and Tozawa angle continue after Great Balls? Oh,
yes.
Yeah. Neville's going to win this one probably by cheating.
Yes. Connor Dunmore, as NXT is such a huge part of WWE now, can you name five underwhelming former WWE stars who could have done with time in NXT back in the day? Good
yes.
question.
Drew McIntyre.
Yeah.
Cassius Ohno.
Well, he never made it to the main roster.
I'm joking. Let's see here. Yeah, Drew McIntyre for sure. Who was like, who came out?
Mr.
Like,
Kennedy.
Yeah, I was going to think that. I was thinking that too. But then, I mean, I'm not sure all the time in NXT in the world, I'm not sure if he would have been a safer worker.
Oh, maybe.
You think so? Maybe. I mean, just reps. Reps yeah. will help it out.
Yeah.
Here's how you do a basic move.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably right. Before you wrestle John Cena, maybe learn how to do a
Randy Orton
properly.
So those two, those are good answers.
Those are good answers.
Trying to think of people who debuted with fanfare that never really lived up to.
Glacier.
Well, he was WCW.
That's true.
Raven
should have gone through NXT before he went to
that'd
WWE.
Been cool.
Yeah, I know. That'd
been real cool.
It's like Eric Young, dude.
I saw on the tip of my tongue and I can't.
JT has a question.
Okay.
I asked this question to Solomonster a while back. Wonder what your guys' thoughts are. Should the winner of the Mae Young Classic be the one to take the belt from Asuka?
No.
I'm firmly on board with nobody taking the belt from Asuka. She vacates it.
Maybe she vacates it and the winner of the Mae Young Classic faces Ember Moon or Ruby Riott.
Yeah, the number
to
one
determine
contender.
A
yeah.
new.
I like that a lot.
NXT Women's Champion.
I like that a lot. Well, that was a good question. Magnum TA champion Nathan Raglan. In the event that Vince retires or passes away and Triple H takes over the WWE, I don't think Triple H and Stephanie, who do you think would take over NXT and how well do you think they will handle it compared to Triple H?
Regal.
Yeah, I would think Regal would actually be like the next man for that. I didn't realize before I read the Wrestling Observer and the Mauro Ranallo contract thing last week that Michael Cole was so heavily involved.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that either.
Yeah, that's crazy, right?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Jack Dolan, Book of Survivors.
Danger Dolan.
Book a Survivor Series style match between NXT and 205 Live.
All right. So on 205 Live side, we have
Neville.
Are we gonna combine heels and faces? You think Neville's
yeah.
gonna get along with his fellow members?
Interesting stories.
King of the 205 Live Survivor Series team.
Neville,
Cedric Alexander.
Yes.
Noam Dar, there's a story there between
yes.
those two.
TJP. And
Tony Nese.
Okay.
He is the premier athlete.
He is.
Yeah.
And then for Team NXT, you got to have Bobby Roode.
Look, dude, this is a dream team. Bobby Roode, Roderick Strong, Drew McIntyre, Aleister Black, and Cassius Ohno.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Give me that five any day of the week.
I know.
Are
team,
you kidding
team
me?
Team NXT picks up the win, probably.
Easily. They did sweep. 5-0 sweep.
Watching that match.
Neville might take out a couple guys.
Watching the match, the Bobby Roode, Roderick Strong match. Bobby Roode is so good.
Bobby Roode is so good.
He's amazing.
Man. He is so good.
He is amazing.
Man, that Roderick Strong. Gee willikers, he's good.
Mm-hmm. They're both really good.
Yeah. Bobby Roode's got it all, though.
Yeah, he does.
He has it all.
I don't know how long he's going to be in NXT.
And his finisher's a DDT. That's fantastic.
But he makes it awesome.
I know. It is, in fact, a glorious
DDT. It is.
Oh, man.
Okay, here's a good question. Thomas Jacob Van Giesen. Hey, friendos.
That's a great name.
It is. Who do you see as being the next NXT champion that isn't currently on the NXT roster? Adam Cole, baby.
War Machine. Yeah, I'd say Adam Cole, baby.
Liam Wagner says Sammy Callahan.
Oh, wow. What a good answer.
That would be interesting.
No, they're going to put him with Sanity.
It's Adam Cole, baby.
It's definitely Adam Cole, baby.
Couple more.
Penultimate Tommy Wiseau. Could Aleister Black with his kickboxing be booked the same as Brock with his MMA background? Booked the same. It's difficult to book the same as Brock because he's like super legitimate. He was UFC heavyweight
yeah.
champion. But in terms of, hey, this guy can legitimately kick your ass. I think he can. I mean, it was kind of interesting to see his match with Cassius Ohno when he actually had, you know, competition.
Yeah.
They didn't book him quite as strong as I figured they would.
And he has a match coming up soon against a new arrival in NXT.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's kind of interesting.
I know.
We'll get to that once the episode airs.
Yes.
Let's see here. Wayne Lynch, the UK correspondent, Wainmaker here. The Cruiserweight Classic led to 205 Live, the UK Championship, evidently leading to the UK show. Do you think the Mae Young tournament will lead to a female-only show? That's what the rumor is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they'll probably see how well it goes over and then decide from there.
Yeah.
But they need to get that UK show going. We're already in July, and we haven't heard anything about it.
The creator, Melvin Adams Jr.
The creator.
We'll end on this one. Hey, friendos, it seems to me like NXT Brooklyn is their version of WrestleMania. So how would you book their upcoming Brooklyn event, and who are some surprise signees you would have there? Adam Cole, baby!
Adam Cole needs to be in that crowd, man.
Yeah, he will be.
It's been long enough. We said that about the last one.
I thought it was a little more of a 50-50. But he'll be there this time.
Yeah.
If he's going to sign, he'll be here. He'll be there that then. Main event, NXT Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Roode versus
Drew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would think so.
Does Drew take that title off of Bobby Roode?
I'm not so sure now.
Yeah, man. They book Bobby so strong.
I know.
He's so smart.
I know.
I say keep it on Bobby, and then at their rematch, Survivor Series.
No, I say Survivor Series, Aleister Black takes the belt off him.
Really?
Yeah.
Drew just doesn't get the
not right now, at least.
Title for that's his entire line of thought.
I know.
He needs to stop spouting that off, but he's not going to win.
Well, he's got to have goals. Can't just say I just came to NXT because I was tired of traveling all over the world to wrestle.
Impact was going to make me a deal, but then I realized I had to win it with Jeff Jarrett.
If rumors are true, Authors of Pain versus War Machine.
That'd be great.
That would be awesome.
Could they sign them in time? They have like a year-long window they need to not sign people.
I mean,
people,
and also
apparently.
War Machine has to lose the IWGP tag titles.
Title for title.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Here we go. This is the last one.
Okay.
That last one there. Iron Man Marcus Tyler.
Yeah.
Without
I was going to save that for Dirt Sheet.
Oh, okay. Never mind. That's a Dirt Sheet question. That's a good question, Marcus Tyler.
It is.
All right. Well, that's it then. That's our show.
Right? Assuming Asuka still has the women's title, who should she face?
Oh, you're still booking Brooklyn.
That's why.
Okay, no, that's cool.
Book the titles at least. Who does Asuka face at NXT Brooklyn?
I mean, I feel like right now Ember Moon, they need to just see if it's going to work or not. I don't want it. Do this. Have the match, and then have Triple H make the call mid-match who wins the title.
Okay.
That's what they should do.
All right.
I don't know, man. Ember Moon needs to show more. I don't know. I feel like the crowd isn't. I don't know if any. I think her injury really did her a disservice.
Yeah.
Like the weird way here. Okay, no, it's a couple things. The weird way they went about her finish move being so dangerous. Like they made it feel like a shoot when Billie Kay got injured from it.
Yeah.
They had only referenced it verbally, talking about, oh yeah, there was issues within the performance center.
No, they said she sent people to the hospital after she was practicing it in the performance center. That sounds like a move that should be banned then.
Show, don't tell.
Yes.
I need to see that. I don't want to just hear it from whoever was saying it.
Yeah.
So I feel like they botched that. I feel like there's not enough reason for her to take the title off of Asuka.
Yeah, I know.
So Ember Moon versus Asuka. Asuka wins. And then moves along to the main.
She just
roster.
Leaves the belt in the middle of the ring after the match, signifying.
Maybe she gets on, or she gets on the. I love when Asuka screams at people.
Yeah,
it's my favorite thing.
Oh yeah, it's pretty cool.
She screams and says, "There's nothing more I can do here. I'm promoting myself to the main."
She shows up.
She's calling herself up.
She shows up at SummerSlam and interferes in both women's matches.
That would be great if she calls herself up. She's not waiting for anybody.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great.
That would be cool.
Or what if she takes the NXT title and defends it on the main roster? Kevin Owens didn't really do that, but he took
the
NXT title.
Yeah.
That'd be good. All right. I like it. I like it a lot. And then also at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn, they debut the NXT Intercontinental Championship.
There you go.
Eric Young wins.
No, Roderick Strong wins.
Oh, okay. That's good, too. Yeah, in a match against Eric Young.
There you go.
All right. Sounds good. Where's Eric Young been?
Yeah, he hasn't been on TV in a while.
What's up with that? Anyways, that's it. That's it for the show. If you're a patron and you're watching right now, stick around. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.